I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to take a look at some verses here this morning. And your pastor told me that this month is your stewardship month. I've been at Open Bible Baptist Church. I grew up there. Then I came out and I pastored in Ohio here for some time, pastored for about 6 years. I loved it. And I thought we were going to stay in Ohio. And they called me a couple years in. They said, you know, we'd like you to consider to come back. I said, no, I'm not interested. And then my father called me a couple years later, and he said, son, the deacons, they would like you to come back. And I'm talking about retirement, and they want you to take over. I said, no, and tell them never to call me again because I'm staying right here. I love Ohio. I just love the people. I love the country. And the great thing about Ohio is if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes and it'll change, you know. And I just loved it. And then a couple years later, they called me again. They said, Pastor Adele, would you please just pray about it? And I said, that's where I made my mistake. I started praying and God moved me out of Ohio. But seriously, we're glad to be able to be in New Jersey. But for 40-some years at that church, we've done stewardship in January. So this is nothing really new to me. I don't know if this is what you guys have always done, but this is something that we've always done. And so it's a great way to be able to start the year off. It really is. And thinking about our stewardship. And our stewardship really comes down to a heart condition. That's all stewardship is. It's all based upon our heart. Now, I want us to take a look in Matthew chapter 6. I don't know if this is your habit here, but if you're physically able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word as I read verses 19 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be dark, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, for they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Stewardship. I'm going to talk to you about the temporal versus the eternal. And when it comes to stewardship, and we're going to talk about some giving this morning, and the temporal versus the eternal, and Christ Jesus, he really sets the example for us as the most generous of givers. Christ is our example. There is an estimated 10 million tithers in America that donate more than $50 billion annually to religious and charitable causes. A new 5-year study released by the State of the Plate gives an inside, in-depth look into the financial giving and spiritual practices of 4,413 people who donate 10% or more each year to their church. Survey participants came from all 50 states, all types of churches, and all income levels. The full report, 20 Truths About Tithers, is a 27-page booklet of valuable information on this important group of givers for the media, for pastors, for churches, and for nonprofit leaders. The state of the plate findings said this. 77% of those who tithe give 11 to 20% or more of their income, far more than the baseline of 10%. 97% made it a priority to give to their local church. 70% tithe based on their gross income, not their net. 63% started giving 10% or more between childhood and their 20s. Lets us know that stewardship can be taught at a very young age and ought to be. Tithers carry much less debt than most people and are financially better off than Christian non-tithers. 80% of tithers, the survey says, have no unpaid credit card bills. 74% of tithers have no car payment. 48% of tithers own their home, and 28% are completely debt-free. The study that they comprised, though, stated that only 25% of the families in the church make up the giving. They often provide about 50 to 80% of the funding. What keeps non-tithing Christians from giving? 38% say that they can't afford it. 33% say that they have too much debt. And 18% said that their spouse doesn't agree about tithing. Now, it doesn't really matter what our spouses says or what other people say. It really matters what the Word of God has to say. And it was not that the tithers gave. Many times people think, well, they tithed because they gave, they had extra income. But the study showed that tithers were distributed most equally across all income levels. So the data that reveals to us that the real issue of what keeps people from giving and tithing to the church is not a financial issue, but a heart issue. And giving has always come down not to your back pocket, but to your heart. See, it's really the temporal versus the eternal. And Jesus speaks about that here in Matthew chapter 6, about the temporal versus the eternal. You might say this morning, well, I'm a tither, I'm off the hook this morning. No, because it's not just about tithing. It's really about your heart attitude. See, the values for the believer are to be lived out for the eternal and not the temporal. You were created to live out for the eternal and not for the temporal. See, the things that matter most to Jesus are not the temporal. The things that matter most to Jesus are the eternal. And Jesus gives to us this morning from his word some key principles that we can be able to live by to help us live for the eternal and not the temporal. In the Bible, in this passage of scripture, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this sermon is really directed to his immediate followers. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5, because this begins the Sermon on the Mount in verse 1. We see that it's directed to his immediate followers. Verse 1 says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And then he opened up his mouth," it says, "and he taught them." So we can say that the teaching that Jesus gives is for those who are already followers of himself. They were believers. So the teaching is for believers this morning. So if you're an unbeliever here this morning, for the majority of the sermon, guess what? You're off the hook. So if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you're off the hook for the majority of this sermon. There are some good principles in here that might be able to help you live, but this sermon on stewardship and giving is not going to get you into heaven, because giving to God doesn't get you into heaven. It's not what you give to God that gets you into heaven. It's what he gave to you that gets you into heaven. See, in this text, we find that there are some commands, three commands that are given to us. In the Greek, they're called imperatives. And these commands are given to us by Jesus to help us know, as believers, how we are to live the Christian life. Can I say how we're to live the abundant Christian life? I want to remind you that Jesus has told us that he came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. Look at John chapter 10, if you will, please, very quickly. John chapter 10. I want you to see this here in the Gospel of John, verse 10. The Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The contrast here in John is that the thief, the devil, he comes to take, to kill, and destroy, and that Jesus has come to give us joy, fulfillment, purpose, and the abundant life. So then, the teachings, if this is true about Jesus, if John 10:10 is true, that Jesus has come to give us abundant life, so then the teachings of Jesus would logically be teachings that would bring us an abundant life if we follow those teachings. See, there's many people that don't live the abundant Christian life is because, not because Jesus doesn't satisfy, not because he can't bring the abundant life, it's because we have chosen not to live the abundant life. We have chosen, and you say, what do you mean we've chosen not to live the abundant life? By not following his teachings. One of the teachings that Jesus gives to us this morning is the temporal versus the eternal. And when Jesus teaches us this, he makes some really strong statements. He gives to us, as I mentioned a moment ago, three commands. Go back to our key text in Matthew chapter 6. He gives to us three commands. And there's more than three commands in here, but these are the three main ones. And there's one main one and then two hang off of it. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, that's the first one. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Then the second command, the second main command you find in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25, 31, and 34. And it can be summed up like this. It says, take no thought, and you can see it, he says it over and over again. Take no thought for what? For your life, for what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear, and for tomorrow. And then the third command is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So here are the three main commands in this passage, the teaching. Jesus wants to give us an abundant life. He wants us to learn to live for the eternal and not the temporal. So he says, this is the first thing that I want you to do. The first teaching I want you to understand, church, is don't store up treasures on earth. Second teaching, don't be anxious for anything in life. We would say, like, don't worry. Remember, how many remember that song? Don't worry, be happy. You remember? Okay, all right. I don't know if they got it from the Bible, but, you know, yeah. So he says, don't be anxious for life. Don't worry. And the third thing, so he gives us two negatives. Then he gives us a positive. He says, do seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. So here's two things I don't want you to do, but this is what you can do. And what Jesus is saying is don't live for the temporal, live for the eternal. And the main command that everything hangs off of, it's like a tree with fruit, main branch, and the fruit that hangs, the main branch is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So Jesus tells us today that we need to put God first. So what does putting God first, living for the eternal, what does putting God first and living out his righteousness look like? What is putting God first, living for the eternal and not the temporal? What does that look like for you and me this morning? First, let's just go back to what he says. Number one, very quickly, don't store up for the temporal. Don't do it. Turn to 2 Corinthians, if you will, please. 2 Corinthians, and take a look at chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As believers, we're not to store up for the temporal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and take a look at verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. See, as believers, we're not to live for the temporal. And the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. When we walk by sight, you know what we're doing? We're living for the temporal. You live for the temporal and you walk by sight, what I should say, when you store up for the temporal. When you gather up, if you will, for the future. When we take all of our earthly valuables, when we store them away and the wealth that you've accumulated, we just stock it away and we say, I'm just going to make sure, I'm going to stock this away and make sure that I really don't have to live by faith. I really don't have to, because I've got everything put in order. See, the point is that Jesus is making, he's not saying don't plan. He's not saying don't have any retirement. But the point that he is making is that storing up for the temporal is not to be the first and major priority. And so many times we look to, you know, I want to make sure that I've got enough for the rainy day. The problem is, when we live that way, many times what we do is we live our life like this. It's our stuff. And when we live like this, two things happen. Number one, nothing can come out of it. You can't get anything out of a closed fist. And number two, nothing can go into it, because you can't get any more into a closed fist. And what Jesus wants us to do is that even if we have things stored up, even if we planned and there's nothing wrong with that, as we've done that, that we're willing to say, if God lays something on our heart, that we're willing to say, Lord, look, this is yours. I'm just a steward of this, and I am living for the eternal. So if you lay on my heart to be able to, maybe pastor wants to be able to do something for missions or whatever here, and you've got that money set aside, but you know, you and your wife have gotten together and you've prayed about this and you've said, you know what, we're going to give this to the work of God because this is what God wants us to do. See, too many times we live for the temporal and we store up. In Luke chapter 12, if you will, please, Luke chapter 12, and you can turn there in your Bibles, if you would, Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. This is where Jesus is talking about covetousness. When you store up for the temporal, you have a tendency, to live this way. And verse 13, Luke 12, 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Jesus gives this parable to illustrate the truth about the temporal versus the eternal. And there was this young man who came to him, and you read the passage with me, and he came to Jesus, and he wanted Jesus to act as a legal judge between him and his brother with this inheritance. And Jesus said, No, I'm not going to deal with that. But let me deal with what the real issue is here. I'm not going to deal with this physical issue. Let me deal with the heart issue here. I'm not going to talk to you about who gets what, but let me talk to you about your heart problem. And he goes in and he teaches that a man's life is not about the temporal. Jesus uses this parable about this man who was greatly blessed with these riches. You know, maybe for us, it wouldn't be with our barns necessarily. Maybe some of the farmers here, that might be the case, have a great crop. You get a bumper crop or whatever, and maybe God's continued to bless. And, well, you know, instead of looking for the eternal, how can I use this for the work of God? And what can I do with this increase for the work of God? We look at just storing it away. But for us, some of us, it might be, well, what can I do with my 401k? What can I do with my stocks? And, man, I'm just having a landslide here. And we're just going to store it away. So that way it can be easier and easier and easier when we know that there might be some things out there that God would want us to do with it. You say, why did this man do this? He tore down these barns and built bigger ones because his heart was not right. See, you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to do what we want to do. We all want to live the American dream. And can I tell you, listen, it is impossible to live the American dream and live the abundant Christian life. They're diametrically opposed. The American dream is all about me and about what I want. And living the abundant Christian life is all about what Jesus wants. The American dream is all about the temporal. The abundant Christian life is really all about the eternal. So how do you know that? Well, think with me about passages in Scripture where it talks about there's a peace that passes all understanding. How are you going to buy that? You can't. That's not something temporal. That's something eternal that God gives. There's nothing on this upon the face of the earth that could be able to give us that type of peace. It is living for the eternal. Jesus gives, back in our key text, if you would flip back there with me, reasons for not living for the temporal. Well, you say, well, Pastor Riddell, I see, yeah, that's what Jesus says, and it's kind of hard to swallow. I understand that, living for the temporal and eternal, and it is, it's hard for all of us, is it not? I mean, it's right in our face. We see it all day long. I mean, it's advertised to us. We're blitzed with it all the time. It's right there. But Jesus, many times in Scripture, he'll just tell us, do this. But in this portion of Scripture, he says, do this, and then he tells us why we should or shouldn't do it. Take a look. He tells us why we shouldn't just store up for the temporal. First thing, if you're taking notes, you may want to write it down. You shouldn't store up for the temporal. Why? Because storing up for the temporal treasures can and will eventually be eaten away, rust away, or taken away. Storing up for temporal can and will eventually be eaten away, rust away, or take away. That's what he says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Say, why shouldn't I store up for the temporal? Well, Jesus gives us that first reason. The second reason is storing up for temporal treasures cultivates, now listen to this, blinded vision. What? It cultivates blinded vision. You end up living for only that which you can see. Oh, you still have physical vision, but you've lost your spiritual eyesight. No longer sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You've lost that spiritual eyesight. You got physical vision, but what's happening is there's something in front of you. It's not that you've lost God or that you're no longer saved or anything like that, but there's something that's blocking you from your spiritual vision. See, it keeps you from being sensitive to the things of God. You really then live a life of deception, and you really end up being the one who's deceived. Thirdly, the third reason why you shouldn't lay up for the temporal is because storing up for the temporal leads you to choosing the temporal as being your master. You've got to make a choice. See, that's why it's a heart issue. Who are you following? Where are you laying up? Where's your heart gravitate towards? You know, I've often told the church that I pastor, I've often asked them, when you get an increase in salary, what's the first thing you think about? How you can move the work of God forward, or how you can increase your own standard of living. I'm not saying it's wrong to increase your standard of living. I'm not saying Jesus didn't say you shouldn't plan for the future. What we're talking about is we're talking about stewardship, rooted in stewardship. And to be rooted in stewardship, it must start with the right heart. And it's got to start with the right outlook. Am I living? Only you can answer that this morning, folks. Nobody else can answer it here. You could be a multimillionaire and you can be living for the eternal. But you can be poor as a church mouse and you can be living for the temporal. Only you can decide where your heart's at. And it causes you to choose the temporal as your master. So in order for you to live, to put God first and live out his righteousness, remember the main command, means that you don't store up for the temporal. That's not your number one priority. You know, when giving is viewed as something that's being taken away or something that I give up, it becomes harder to do. Did you hear that statement? When giving is viewed as something that is being taken away or something that I have to give up, it becomes harder to do. But when giving is viewed as something, number one, that I get to do and that it's an investment in the kingdom of God, it becomes a joy. He's storing up for the temporal. He says, well, how can I live for Christ and seek his righteousness? Number two, store up for the eternal. Jesus does not leave us with the negative. He gives us the positive here. He says, store up for the eternal. Use your income, if you will, for your increase, he says, for the kingdom. What he's saying is use the temporal to store up for the eternal. Do you know when you just gave? If you gave with the right heart, you know what you just did? That giving, whatever amount of money that you put in, that giving, your tithe, your offering, if you do building fund, I don't know what you do here and how your giving set up, whatever. Whatever you gave, if you gave with the right heart, that which can be destroyed, that which can have an end to it, that which has a lifespan, that money, that currency, because one day it will all be gone. But what you just gave, you just made an eternal investment. And guess what? It's going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever. You have what is called fruit that would abound to your account. And see, the priority of the believer, the follower of Jesus, is to be the kingdom and his advancement. Isn't that what Jesus taught us to pray? I mean, you can see that in chapter 6 and verse 9. He says, and after this manner, pray ye therefore, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's the way we're supposed to live, Jesus is saying. That it's all about the kingdom. See, Jesus wants each of us to devote our lives to storing up treasure in heaven. So what does that look like? Well, it means that you give, as I mentioned to you. It means that you give your finances for the advancement of Christ's glory, his kingdom, for his gospel. It's giving your wealth away and my wealth away for the spread of the gospel to all peoples. I want you to turn back to Luke chapter 12, and this will probably be our last passage as we close. I'm going to give you a closing illustration. Luke chapter 12. So Jesus says, don't store up for the temporal, store up for the eternal. Take a look at Luke chapter 12, verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide your bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I just told you, we're to give. We're to give of our financial resources and our wealth. This backs up what I was saying here. It means that you're to give to your local church, to the spread of the gospel, that you treasure the eternal much more than you do the temporal. Jesus makes a strong statement here. He says, sell what you have. Now, I'm not telling you, and your pastor didn't tell me what aspect of stewardship to preach on necessarily. I asked him what the theme was, and he said stewardship. And what I'm about to say, this is what Scripture says, but it's a pretty strong statement. Jesus says, sell that you have and give it away. I've heard people say, well, Pastor, I don't have anything to give. Jesus isn't telling us right now that, so, man, this new pastor we got, he brought this guy in, man. He told us to sell everything. What's going on? No. The attitude, the heart attitude that we're to have, that we will give whatever needs to be given for the eternal. But as pastor, I was getting ready to tell you, as pastor, I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I don't have anything to give. You know what Jesus is saying right there? That if you truly have, you say, I have nothing to give. I mean, I'm broke, I'm on welfare, or I'm on whatever the case may be. I have nothing to give. That whatever you have, if you truly live for the eternal, whatever you have, that you would be willing to sell it in order to give to the work of God. He says, sell what you have. That's the priority that God puts on his kingdom over the temporal. Folks, if he created all this, which he did, and he's provided all this beautiful place for this church here and your homes and your food, he can continue to provide. If you're just obedient to be able to live this way, if you're just obedient to be able to live for the eternal and not the temporal. You see, that's crazy. Let me use this illustration here. You're telling me, Pastor, that the first thing I ought to think about when I get a raise or maybe I get some bonus or whatever, first thing I ought to do is think about the eternal over the temporal. Yes, that's what I'm telling you. That's the first thing. I'm not saying you can't use it for the temporal, but that's the first. And that's between you and God. Nobody can tell you if you get a raise and you go buy a new car or whatever the case may be, that you're in sin. They can't tell you that. But the first thing, you got to live, you got to ask, you got to think about the eternal. I've got this rope here. And I want you to imagine that this rope goes on forever. It does end. But I want you to imagine this rope goes on forever. And I want you to imagine now that this rope is eternity. Sometimes it's hard for us to imagine eternity, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to get our minds around that because we got beginning and endings in our minds. But this rope, it represents eternity. And I want you to imagine, I hope you can see this in the back, this red section right here. I want you to think that this is your life, this red section. This represents your life. Now, this is eternity, goes on forever and ever, and this is your life. And you think that maybe you think I'm crazy about what I just preached, but maybe this will help us really get this into perspective. This is your life, and you work, 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 and you save, and you save, and you save, and you save, and save, and save, and save. And you can't wait till you get to this point right here. Now, this illustration is an original with me, okay? But it hit home with me. It helped me, and maybe it'll help you. And you work till you get right here because you're going to go live the American dream. You're going to have everything set aside. You're going to wait till you get right there. You store up, and you're going to live right for here. Just can't wait to retire, move to Florida, play golf, or whatever you do, or I don't know. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live life like this. Okay, this is your life. This is all of eternity. If you only live for this, once this is done, you don't have any treasure. You're not rich towards God. You don't have anything. Now, which is more crazy? Which is more nonsense? To live for this part right here, the temporal, or to live for the eternal? Is it really that crazy to be able to
say, I'm going to take this 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years of life that I have, and I am going to first ask the question, what would God have me to do with this increase that he's given me, with the wealth, whatever it is that he's given to me, no matter where I'm at on the income level? Would it be wiser for me to just live for this part of life, or would it be wiser for me to live for this part of life? That's why Jesus says, if you want to really have the abundant Christian life, if you really want to enjoy the Christian life, because our Christian life is going to be a whole lot more than the years that we have here, we have all of eternity with him. He's not saying to take it from us so that we can't enjoy this life. He's saying it because he knows he wants us to enjoy all of heaven, all of eternity. So let me ask you this morning, what are you living for? If everything was taken away from you, would Jesus be enough? Temporal or eternal?